Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 586 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden with you here, April 14th, 2024. And Mr. Irrelevant and the San Diego Padres just knocked off the Dodgers on Sunday Night Baseball. They took 2 out of 3 at Dodger Stadium. The first time that they won back-to-back series at Dodger Stadium since, I believe, 2013. So it's been a while, but it is a great time. It's always a great time to win a series at Dodger Stadium. For anyone that's watching on YouTube, I apologize for the camera today. I don't know what's going on, but usually I'm more zoomed out here, but I'm not. So apologies for that. But thank you for joining. Anyone that is live here watching this show on YouTube, or you're watching on replay or listening to the podcast, I appreciate each and every one of you. What a weekend, huh? It's always entertaining, right? Interesting. Maybe sometimes not as entertaining as we want, but interesting for sure when the Padres and the Dodgers face off. And so there's a lot to talk about. Tommy Pham looks like he is finding a landing spot. It's not the Padres, so we can get to that in a little bit. If you want to join the show, you can click that link that is pinned up at the top of the YouTube live chat. And you can come on, give your thoughts about this Padres team. I mean, right now, just overall, before getting into these three games, it's a different team. And I know everyone has said that, so this isn't like a hot, unique take or anything like that. But I think what we're all seeing is this team just seems different than last year. There's already so many more, it feels like, feel-good wins than there were last year. I know last year it wasn't a good season overall, so of course there's not going to be a lot of feel-good wins. But right now, how many can we point to? How many feel-good wins could we have pointed to last year? Maybe the Ha-Sung Kim walk-off game, right? There was that Tatis bat flip City Connect game. The Orioles win maybe where Tatis stole home. But like there wasn't a ton. And that's the entire year. This is April 14th. And I can already count multiple feel-good wins. Not just two, but more than that, that they've already had. The game, the second game, the first win of the year in Korea. That was a pretty good feel-good win, right? Getting to Yamamoto early. The home opener, winning that game, that seemed pretty good. The comeback win, obviously. Down 8-0, they win that. Friday night, winning that game, down 7-3, five unanswered runs, win that game. This game here tonight, another deficit. And Mr. Irrelevant, Jurickson Profar, comes through. I thought that was going to be a grand slam, but off the wall in center. And that gives the Padres the lead, and they obviously don't give it up. So there's a lot of feel-good wins. And right now, are the Padres in first place in the National League West? No. Of course, the Dodgers are in first. I didn't come into this season expecting the Padres to contend for the NL West, and they're 9-9 right now, and the Dodgers are 11-7. I'm not saying the Padres are going to contend for the NL West, but what I want out of this Padres team is to do what they're doing right now. Continue to fight. I want them to have more leads. Like, that would be nice. I don't want to have so many comeback victories, but it's off to a good start. Like, the vibes, they're good right now, right? Amongst Padre fans, I think the vibes are pretty good. I'll take this 500 record right now. Sure, were there games where you'd like it to be better? Yeah, but I'm going to take this. If they can be through April around 500, hopefully a few games over 500, I think you'll take that. When you face the Dodgers as many times as you faced them, the Giants, the Cardinals, the Cubs, the Brewers are one of the best teams in baseball. They're about to face the Brewers coming up in Milwaukee. So it hasn't been the easiest first month of games, and we're not even a month in yet, but you get what I'm saying. The first month here, it hasn't been the easiest. It's just hasn't been drawn up the best for the Padres. And there's been some starting pitching struggles. There's been, I mean, we have Manny DHing. We don't even have Manny at third base permanently. So they're still trying to find their way, obviously. So right now, I'm happy with where things are at. Sure, there could be improvements, but I think you got to be happy coming off a series win against the Dodgers, obviously. But tonight, let's start with tonight. I'm going to get to the chat, obviously. If you want to join the show again, click that link pinned up at the top of the chat. Padres win this one tonight, 6-3. They were down. I thought Darvish tonight did his job. Sure. Did he miss some spots and the sweeper wasn't working as well as he wanted it to? Okay. But he kept the Padres in this game, obviously. His final line, 5 innings. Want him to go longer, but when the sweeper isn't working, he had that long inning. What inning was that? The fourth inning where the Dodgers scored 3 runs. And so it's understandable there why Darvish wasn't able to go 6. But 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 2 punch outs, did give up a home run. But then the bullpen came in. De Los Santos, Matsui, Peralta, Suarez, no earned runs allowed. With Robert Suarez, by the way, he kept going to the fastball. And he ended up walking a guy, and I'm like, okay, the fastball, it may not be locating very well, but he was able to get out of it, got the double play. Speaking of double plays, the Padres had a lot of double plays that they grounded into tonight. Thankfully, the Dodgers did not mount a comeback in the ninth inning, because I thought Luis Camposano should have been busting it more down the line there on that grounder to first, especially when Freddie went and turned. He didn't just go touch first base, but it was off the line a little bit, off first base. So he throws it to Mookie, I believe, at second, and then he has to go back to first. I thought Campy could have had a little bit better effort there out of the box, because if he would have beat the throw, I don't know, you know, looking at the replay, I don't know how great of a chance he had to beat the throw, but he could have definitely made it closer and maybe made Mookie panic a little bit. If he would have made it, run scores, and that would have gave Robert Suarez a little bit more room to work with there. But hey, this bullpen, I think that it's bounced back pretty good. You know, it's still obviously, we got a long way to go here in this season. It's April 14th. But the bullpen, it's already been through a little bit of challenges, some struggles with some guys. And then some guys have had some good nights. So hopefully this bullpen can be more consistent here. I think the Padres, the 4 guys that pitched today, I would throw Tom Cosgrove in there. I believe in that guy. But De Los Santos, Matsui, Peralta, and Suarez, those are probably like the 3 high-leverage guys that Mike Schilt wants to go to. I think we found that for now. Things are fluent. You know, those guys could struggle and someone else comes in, but I think those are the guys that they want to rely on. Tom Cosgrove, maybe for matchups. He pitched yesterday. Offensively, I mean, when you get 8 walks from James Paxton, the Dodgers starter tonight, I wish the Padres offense would have done more. But I'm happy that they still came back and they fought, and Jurickson Profar comes up huge. A relevant hit for sure. A definitely relevant knock to bring in. He cleared the bases, I think, right? Bases loaded, made it 6-3 there. So, I mean, I knew that that was coming. You had to know. Now, as Padre fans, some may have sat there and be like, it's not going to happen. Jurickson Profar is not really going to come up big in this game after he was called out by Will Smith. It's not actually going to happen. But I sure did. On my pregame thoughts, my underdog fantasy pick nailed that one. James Paxton got that pick correct. It was under two punch outs or under 1.5. I thought he was going to strike out less than two guys in the first, got that. And then Profar, half total bases on hits. And he obviously got that with the big double there. I knew he was going to come through. Like Jurickson Profar, he's not someone that's just going to sit there and let Will Smith call this guy irrelevant. That's not going to happen. He's not going to let that fly. Makes a sliding catch in left early in the game. And then hits one 105 miles per hour that goes right at Muncy at third, I believe, in his first AB. So, like, he was on it. I felt good. He was going to come through. And then takes a pitch. It was outside the zone, but takes a pitch to dead center. I don't know how many ballparks that would have been out of. I'm not looking at, like, Baseball Savant or StatCast on that. But, man, he hit that on the nail. I thought that was gone. I thought that was going to be a grand slam. I'm trying to pull up here. I want to pull up Tony Gwynn Jr.'s call of the Profar granny here. So much for being irrelevant in this ball game. Here is the call, courtesy of 97.3 The Fan, Jurickson Profar. I mean, I don't think we want to hear from the national guys, although they had an okay call there. Because, I mean, they were just riding the Dodgers all freaking night. Holy cow. But here's Jurickson Profar's, not grand slam. Sorry, did I say grand slam moments ago? Almost grand slam off the wall.
Jurickson swings, hits it in the air to deep center field. Altman's racing back, straight back, still going back at the wall. Hits off the fence and rolls away. Bogaerts has scored. Tatis on his way. Cronenworth being waved. Profar stops it second with a three-run double, and the Padres lead it 6-3.
So much for being irrelevant in this ball game.
What a call from Tony there and Jesse. Jesse, obviously, with the enthusiasm there. But yeah, so much for being irrelevant. Not irrelevant in this game. And he hasn't, and that's the thing. Jurickson has not been irrelevant this season for the Padres. It would be one thing if Will Smith called Tyler Wade irrelevant. But entering today, Jurickson Profar had an OPS of nearly 950. He had a bunch of stats that were better than Will Smith. I'm not saying Will Smith sucked so far this year. He actually had an average, I think, over 300 entering tonight. But Profar entering tonight, 10 runs driven in, 2 home runs, including a grand slam, a 165 OPS plus, 528 slugging, a 419 on base percentage, and Will Smith's calling that guy kind of irrelevant. You were asking for it, Will. You really were. And I'm happy that Jurickson Profar is a Padre because he wasn't going to let that fly. He was going to come through tonight in this game, and I'm happy that he did. Manny with a home run tonight, 3 home runs against the Dodgers already this season. So he's swinging the bat better. Encouraging signs there. Again, shout out to the bullpen. Tonight and then Friday night, the 2 wins in this series, epic wins, entertaining wins, comeback victories. Someone asked on social media the other day, how many comeback victories did the Padres have under Bob Melvin? And it was actually more than I thought. But comeback victories, I think in that stat include, like, if you're down 1-0 in the 4th inning and you win that game, it's still a comeback technically because you were down and you came back and you won. I wonder, like, what were the late comeback victories? 6th inning or later, Padres down by however many runs. I don't care if it's 1 run. How many games did they win there with Bob Melvin? Last year, they were one of the worst teams. Because I looked this up, they were one of the worst teams in baseball in comeback victories, which probably isn't a shocker. I mean, when it took them till September to win 4 games in a row last year, And this year, they're already off to, they haven't won four games in a row, but it seems like they're stringing together wins. And hey, all that matters is you win series, right? You win more series than you lose, and you're going to be in a good spot at the end of the year. And you look at the Padres, series win against the Dodgers, and they had a series win against the Cubs. So I know that it took them a little bit longer than I wanted for the Padres to get their first series win of the year, but to have back-to-back going into Milwaukee, because Milwaukee is good. They are a good team so far this year. Musgrove on the mound tomorrow. Tough flight. I mean, Major League Baseball, they make the Padres play Sunday Night Baseball tonight, and then they have to get on a flight, a red-eye flight, to Milwaukee. And isn't that where the haunted hotel is or whatever? They go to Milwaukee, and then they have to play later that day. And oh, by the way, the clock leaps forward on them because they're going from the West Coast to Milwaukee, a different time zone. So I don't think that we should use that as an excuse if the Padres lose to Tyson Ross's brother, Joe Ross, tomorrow in the Milwaukee Brewers, especially when you got Musgrove on the mound. I have a high standard for Joe. I know he has struggled a little bit, but the Padres, I think hopefully they can still go win that game tomorrow. But it is a little bit of a tough thing travel-wise there. But yeah, exciting series victory last night. I don't want to talk about that too much. They lose 5-2. They got no hit through over five innings. Perfect game over five innings with Gavin Stone. Obviously, Gavin Stone throws in on Profar. He wasn't trying to hit him. Profar even admitted to that. He realized that, yeah, he had a perfect game. He wasn't trying to hit him, but just in the moment, he reacted. And once you react, the benches are going to clear. So it was a lot about nothing, which was that yesterday. And yeah, it was a disappointing loss. I mean, when you allow I'm not saying Gavin Stone sucks. He doesn't. Like, there's talent there. But when you allow any guy to throw a perfect game against you through five innings, you're probably not going to win that baseball game. At least you're making it really tough on yourself. And I thought Matt Waldron did well, kept the Padres in that game. But the Padres obviously didn't do enough offensively. And Tom Cosgrove was not the guy that he was on Friday when he was able to get Shohei out. He was able to get Freddie Freeman out. Wasn't the same guy. So Padres lose that one on Saturday, 5-2. I'm trying to see, is there, because I really don't want to talk too much about Saturday because I want to keep the vibes good because they just won a series against the Dodgers. But is there anything? Well, Merrill. Okay. Merrill, that was his first game leading off for the Padres at the big league level. Bogaerts got the day off. And I love that. I mean, I don't care about, or I care, but I'm not worried. That's what I meant to say. I'm not worried about Jackson Merrill. Oh, he might lose confidence if he struggles in the leadoff spot. Do we see who Jackson Merrill is? Like, if you're watching Jackson Merrill, if you're hearing his post-game quotes and you're just seeing it, the confidence that he has, I don't think him struggling a little bit at the big leagues, him hitting leadoff, I don't think he's going to put more pressure on himself. I don't think he is going to lose confidence if he struggles in the leadoff spot. This guy has confidence. And it's not like he had the best year in the minor leagues. Like, it's not like he was tearing it up in the minor leagues as much as Fernando. As long as I remember correctly, Fernando was tearing it up in the minors more than Jackson Merrill was. And so, like, Merrill, my point is he has struggled before. He's off to a really good start in the big leagues. But, like, I'm just not worried of, oh, maybe he's going to lose confidence. Let's just keep him down in the order. No, we're trying to win baseball games here. If Jackson Merrill is one of your best offensive players in this lineup this season, and he is so far, I'm fine with seeing him be in the leadoff spot. Now, what happens with the rest of the order? Well, Tatis stays hitting second. Cronenworth definitely stays hitting third because he's doing well. Great defensively, by the way. Gold glove first baseman, hand that thing to him right now. At least, you know, through the first however many games we're in right now. 18 games through, right? Gold glove at first base. Such a good job from Crony this year so far. I know it's early, but he deserves applause for what he has done so far this year, offensively and defensively. But where does Bogaerts go? I mean, Manny's probably still hitting fourth, and then do they go Profar just to split up the righties? And then you go Bogaerts after that, and you go Campy. Do you leave Bogaerts all the way down after Campy and have him hit, what would that be, seventh? That would seem weird. There's egos involved. Mike Schilt probably wants to keep Xander Bogaerts, his confidence up. So he probably wants Bogaerts to not be hitting seventh in the order. But if we're trying to win baseball games and we're trying to have the best offensive players, at least right now in the Padres lineup, up as consistent as possible, Jackson Merrill should be at the top of the order. I'd love to see that, but I don't think we're going to see that. I mean, Bogaerts, he had the day off yesterday. That's why Merrill was leading off. And then there was Paxton, the lefty, on the mound today. But then Bogaerts comes back in, and he's leading off today, and Merrill's back hitting eighth. I wonder, you know, I know Tatis, I was talking with Jim Russell about this, I think this past week when he came on the show. It was different circumstances, Tatis in 2019 with the Padres. But it was like mid-April when Andy Green gave Tatis the green light, or AJ, whoever was making the lineup, gave Tatis the green light and said, yep, you're leading off now. So I wonder when that green light is going to come, like, consistently for Jackson Merrill. But yeah, that was disappointing. 5-2. As I said in my post-game reaction, I'm glad that UFC 300, I'm sure there's some people that watched that. That was entertaining. I'm glad that that was on at the same time, because the Padres offense just wasn't doing it for me last night. I was watching the game, obviously. Every game that I can watch live, I'm watching it live. But it just wasn't that entertaining. So they lose Saturday, but they won Friday 8-7, down 7-3. They come back, 5 unanswered runs. I did a breakdown on this, just short what happened in the game. Ohtani had a home. I mean, it was a home run derby in this game. Ohtani, Freeman, who else homered for the Betts? Who else am I forgetting? Teoscar Hernandez. And then for the Padres, obviously, Manny homered, Ha-Sun Kim homered, Crony homered, Tatis homered. Tatis, his home run was to tie the game up. So, look, the Padres only 2-for-8 with runners in scoring position in game one of this series on Friday night, but they continued to fight. And Jackson Merrill, again, like, showing that he has the confidence, he deserves to get this playing time, this consistent playing time. I think they should try to put him at the top of the order. Like, why not? Especially when Xander Bogaerts, he's just not it right now. I really like Tatis in that 2 spot. I like Crony in that 3 spot. Manny, I'm good with him hitting fourth. Some would say, well, have Kim bat lead off. Well, Jackson Merrill, as a lefty, you go left, right out of the gate, and then right, and then maybe left if you have Profar after Manny, instead of having 2 righties in a row, Kim, Tatis, and then you go Cronenworth, and then you go Manny, and then whoever else. I just love the at-bats that Merrill is taking, and he's not trying to hit a home run. He's not trying to do too much. He's not pressing. Well, he's not pressing because he's doing well. We'll see when he struggles, right? When he gets into that slump, how is he going to do? I think that's going to be telling, but I don't have really any doubts about Jackson Merrill right now. He's going to have to really struggle and then not be able to get out of it for me to be doubting Jackson Merrill. But yeah, this game, it was wild. You know, Michael King, I think he pitched fine for the line. He made some mistakes. But like Shohei Ohtani, that pitch was outside the zone, and Shohei was able to hit that out. Campy, he wanted the pitch where Michael King threw it on the Teoscar Hernandez home run. So is King a question mark? Yeah, sure. But I don't think I'm going to be – obviously, I'm not. I'm not as hard on Michael King as I think maybe some other fans might be on his start on Friday. I don't think he was garbage. Sure, he could have had some better location on pitches, but overall, I think some of it you just have to tip your hat. As much as I don't want to do it, you got to tip your hat to the Dodgers hitters. I mean, we know that they're talented as well, just like the Padres pitchers are. And so sometimes you just got to tip your hat. But the bullpen, I mean, holy cow. Kolek, no earned runs. Matsui, no earned runs. Peralta, no earned runs. Cosgrove, De Los Santos, Suarez. Suarez, all fastballs, I believe, in that outing. Inning and a third, which that's awesome to have a closer, obviously, to be able to go multiple innings there, or more than three outs. Like, that's great. And it seems like, at least his explanations, I believe, I forget where I saw this, so I apologize to whatever reporter put this out, or maybe it was a video that I saw of Suarez talking. But, like, it wasn't at Dodger Stadium. It was, I think, after the series finale against the Cubs, and it was just all fastballs, and Suarez was being asked about it, and he was just like, this pitch is working, it's being effective, I'm getting outs with it, so I'm going to keep throwing it. That's going to be my game plan. And it is working. It has worked. He's not going to be able to go all fastballs the rest of the year, but if that fastball keeps working, then you keep throwing it, you know? It's 97, right, consistently. It gets up to, what, 99, 100? I know it's gotten up to 100 a couple times this year. So, again, if it's working, go for it. Keep doing it, Swory, as Schulte likes to call him. And then the Padres offense, right? Like, with Yamamoto, they get three earned runs on him, hit two bombs off of Yamamoto. Manny hit the first one. Ha-Sung Kim hit the second. But it wasn't all about, like, sure, it was a home run derby on Friday, but it was not all about the home run ball, obviously. They still did some of the little things. Xander Bogaerts in the seventh with the ground ball, and Merrill scores. And by the way, that was huge. That was before Fernando's game-tying home run, making it 7-7. Schilt sent Tyler Wade from first to second on the pitch, prevented the double play ball that Xander would have grounded into probably there. It was tailor-made 5-4-3 right there. Prevents that, runner scores, keeps the inning alive. Tatis homers with a runner on to make it 7-7 to set up extra innings, because without that, Dodgers would have won the game. Don't go to extra innings. And then Jackson Merrill not trying to do too much, ground ball through the left side, like he's been in the big leagues for a decade. And I love how much fun he is having. And he's talked about this to the media. I think it was at Dodger Stadium before last night's game, about how, like, he just plays relaxed. The outfield, they're just playing relaxed. You know, when you tense up, things may not go your way. When you tense up, you're pressing and you just get outside yourself. But relax, have fun. You're playing baseball at the end of the day. And Jackson Merrill, keep doing that, dude. Keep doing that, because, man, is he fun to watch. He has quickly become one of my favorite players. Anyone that knows me knows that I love Joe. I love Crony. Tatis, obviously, like, super fun to watch. I love all these guys. Like, Profar's positive attitude. But, like, Jackson Merrill, I was a big Khalil Green fan growing up, number three, so I love that Merrill is wearing number three. Personally, like, for anyone that knows, I played center field in high school. Don't worry, I'm not going to go on for a half hour about my high school playing days. Don't worry, you don't want to hear about that, whatever. But I played center field wearing number three, and so it's pretty cool to see that with Jackson Merrill, someone that's just having fun. He's adjusting to playing center field, coming from shortstop to left for a couple games in spring, then to center field. And how about that catch that he made in the gap? Who knows what would have happened if he didn't make that catch on Friday night, because that was after Mookie hit the home run, after Xander's error. You got to be able to backhand that ball, Xander. You cannot botch that play. I get it. You're transitioning to second base, but that can't happen. Backhand, missed it. Three-run homer. I think it was a three-run homer. And then Shohei hits one in the gap. Merrill says no, dives and catches it. What would have happened if Shohei gets to second base there? I mean, Shohei's fast, so I don't think he would have, maybe he would have gotten to third, who knows? But maybe a bigger inning would have happened there. And guess what? The Padres, they went to extras in this game. So every out counted there. So Jackson Merrill, another guy that deserves applause. I mean, this series, there's some guys that deserve applause on the offense. I think Manny does with the multiple home runs. Tatis, Merrill, Crony, Profar, Mr. Irrelevant. Pretty relevant in this series, I shall say. But yeah, for anyone that missed, because there were some people on social media that actually missed what Will Smith said about Jurickson Profar. Maybe they're living under a rock. Or maybe, you know, you have a life, so maybe you just didn't catch it. But this was on Saturday after the game. He was talking to David Vesey, who is a Dodger reporter, loves to hate on the Padres, obviously. So it was kind of fitting that they were talking together when Smith said this. I don't know why we would have thrown at him. He's kind of irrelevant. Kind of irrelevant. And as I said this morning on the video I put out, someone that has a 321 average and a 948 OPS and a 165 OPS plus, I don't think that's irrelevant, but hey, if Profar is irrelevant, then Will Smith's irrelevant too, because Will Smith had pretty similar numbers. He was hitting over 300 entering tonight as well. But I'm glad. I'm glad that, you know, Jurickson made Will Smith pay, because he definitely saw the quote. There's no way that he didn't see the quote. I wonder if there's any post-game quotes out about that whole exchange, Jurickson Profar, if he has said anything about that. I'll look for that. But first, just going in order of who wanted to join the show here. Garrett, he is on. What's up, Garrett?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. What's up?
Sorry, I'm in my backyard doing some work, but can we talk about really quick how, and you may have already mentioned it, but can we talk about how Mike Schilt managed his team from start to finish on Friday night to tonight?
Yeah, Friday, my goodness, that was a masterclass. Him and Niebla, everyone that they went to, it worked in that bullpen. And then tonight, yeah, I mean, it seemed like everything... Now, it's easy to say this, right, in the wins. Every move ends up working out masterclass. And then when you lose, we're not really talking about Mike Schilt's moves unless it, like, obviously cost the Padres. But, yeah, Friday, specifically Friday, I don't know about you, but Friday was definitely what stuck out to me with the moves that he ended up pulling there.
Yeah, for sure. Say, like, at the beginning of the year, I was kind of a skeptic with Schilt, but after this series, I think he's starting to win me over a little bit, actually, so I'm kind of stoked for that. I was glad to see him really work that bullpen really well this series, so I'm stoked.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right, Garrett, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep, have a good night. All right, I see John is on here as well. What's up, John? I'm sure that you're a pretty happy camper. Padres beat the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, you know it. I am I am looking at buying my Mr. Irrelevant t-shirt on John Boy Media right now. So,
oh, they already have one up, huh?
They already got one up. They are very quick, honestly. So we'll see. I am so proud to be a Padre fan today. I'll tell you what. I mean, just to win in Dodger Stadium, my goodness me, that is quite something, honestly. And I mean, at this point, I mean, if the Padres didn't win the game, I would have been shocked personally. I mean, 14 walks that the Dodgers combined pitching gave up is absolutely insane for any team like that. I guess, you know, when they spent $1 billion, they didn't spend it on pitching. So, I mean, hey, good news for us. You know, that's good. That's great. That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Honestly.
14, yeah. That's, I'm surprised it even got to 8 walks with Paxton, the starter. But yeah, that's, it's also a little frustrating, right? Because you see how many walks that Paxton gave up to us. And, man, Padres didn't do a whole lot with that.
Yeah.
But they got base runners on, bases loaded in that key spot, and Profar almost took Firehausen, took him deep. Imagine the only thing that would have made that better was if it was a grand slam. Because guess what? Profar would have been able to walk around the bases and meet Will Smith at the plate.
Yeah.
Just, like, that would have been hilarious.
That would have been pretty nice. But, hey, listen, we'll take you know, we'll take a bases clearing double. You know, I'm okay with three runs. You know, I mean, definitely I would have wanted more because it's obviously the Dodgers. We don't know what's going on with their hitting because they're just that good. But a good series win, honestly. I'm just so incredibly happy right now. And plus, I mean, Jackson Merrill, too. I mean, you were mentioning earlier. I mean, I think a lot of Padres fans collectively were like, okay, like we're bringing him up. Like, you know, we'll take a 250 average, you know, we'll take something pretty average, no big deal. But I mean, he has absolutely shined in multiple ways. And I feel like the ceiling is very, very high for this kid going forward, because I mean, again, he's going to get more comfortable. He's going to get more experience, more at bats, more playing time. It's just good to see a homegrown talent actually work out, for gosh darn sakes, you know. By the way, going back to your earlier point, I used to wear number 8 in Mark Loretta. So that was my guy, honestly. Yeah. But Khalil Green was a close second. I loved Khalil Green, especially him making those clutch diving stops at shortstop, excuse me. And it
Matt Vasgersian on the call, yeah.
You know what? If I ever meet Matt Vasgersian or Mark Grant, I will shake their hands and be like, you guys narrated my childhood. So I appreciate you guys immensely, for sure.
Yeah, back on Channel 4 SD.
Yeah. Right before the interview series with, what was her name? But anyway, I digress. It was a really good series win. I'm glad to see that, again, the Padres were battling back. I mean, that is something that I feel like we as Padre fans really kind of don't get a lot of, for sure. And it's just good to see that the bats can come alive when we need them the most, you know. And again, it's not just one person. It's a collective action of the whole team getting behind a collective, you know, effort to drive in runs, put the ball in play. It doesn't matter. There are no style points in baseball. Just put it in play, you know.
Yeah. And it just feels different. I'm not saying that they're going to go win the World Series, but obviously with recency bias, like, it's really easy for us to sit here and be like, well, Monday's come back and Friday's come back and tonight's come back. This is amazing. But I mean, this is what we have to judge off of. It's a small sample size, but I'm not going to go look back to spring training games and be like, oh, well, the offense was underperforming there. No, I'm going to look at the regular season games and who's the best opponent that they have faced? The Dodgers. And they have a winning record against the Dodgers in those games so far this year. And I think we got to be pretty ecstatic about that. Like, you ask any Padres fan, would you take this right now? We would take it. You know, just getting – you'd like to get off to an even better start than 500 where they're at right now. But I think considering the schedule and some of the struggles from some key guys on this team to start the year, Manny's not at third. We're having Tyler Wade and Eggy Rosario in there. I would definitely take where they're at right now.
Yeah, I actually kind of wanted to talk a little bit about Tyler Wade as well, because I feel like he is a decent enough guy to stick around when Manny comes back. Obviously, he's batting not the best batting average, like 229, I believe, right now. But, you know, he's in that switch off spot in terms of lefties and righties and stuff like that with Eggy Rosario. And if I had to pick one or the other, Eggy Rosario or Tyler Wade, I would personally pick Wade. But I guess I wanted to hear your thoughts on, you know, when Manny comes back. It's obviously the fielding is going to be pretty locked in for the rest of the season, honestly.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I think when Manny comes back, you could see Paulie come back up if he's ready. I would go, Wade over Rosario. One, Wade's a lefty. He can play multiple infield positions. I think he's been okay defensively. Sure, there's been some times, and including this series where I think it was last night, you got to get that grounder. But overall, I mean, he's been solid. we weren't expecting him to be really anything offensively anyway. It's still just frustrating that we're seeing, it feels like Wade come up in some key situations at times and expectedly, you know, not come through. It was nice, you know, first week of the year where, oh, he's actually doing something offensively. But we knew that it was not going to be something that was going to be sustainable. But yeah, I think I would go Wade over Rosario. I think he's a fine bench guy to have. I think he's a better, you know, lefty Matthew Batten, if that makes sense. Someone that can play multiple spots. He's, I think, okay defensively. Major league vet. It's kind of like Rougned Odor a little bit, right? But Odor had more of like a power potential. I think it's one of those where, it's fine if you have him on the roster. I don't know how long. I don't know if he'll last the season, though, with the Padres.
No, I don't expect that either, considering, again, where Manny's going to come back on the field. And, again, the lineup will be pretty set, I guess, until obviously barring some off days and stuff like that. There will definitely be a DFA at some point, for sure. And, excuse me, but I honestly, if I really had to put money on it, I would put Edgar Rosario, considering he's kind of come in the system. He could get those at-bats. And you know, can get him for cheaper, I guess, in a sense. So I can honestly see that kind of
Wade's
playing out.
You're saying Rosario staying?
I could see Rosario staying. But again, I think there is that, like you mentioned before, I think, you know, Tyler Wade is a good bench piece for sure. He's a lefty at bat, which is, we desperately need that for sure. And then on top of that, he's also very fast on the base paths as well. So, you know, again, there's upside. Wade, there's, you know,
I think Wade was on a minor league deal, so I think it's pretty much the same. I could be wrong on the salaries, but I know he signed on a minor league deal in, I think, November in the offseason. It was early, so I think they're pretty comparable. I don't think it's like, you have to pay Tyler Wade $5 million on a one-year deal.
Sure. But yeah, I think either way, it's just good to see that, again, not only are, not everyone is contributing every single game, which is great. It's a collective effort, which is really just want to see from this whole entire Padres team. And I think, you obviously wish you could be, 11-6, or not 500 or whatever. But I think where we're at, considering the kind of matchups that we've had in the past to get to 500, I mean, that does bode a little bit of confidence, at least for me as a Padre fan, saying that, all right, well, we can kind of hold our own, maybe we can win a series or two, and it's not the end of the world, I think, if we lose a game or two, So just keep it up. That's all I got to say. Just keep it up, boys. Honestly, this is one fun Padres baseball to watch.
Yeah, definitely. All right, John. Thanks so much, man. Have a good night.
Have a good one.
It is a good night here, obviously, coming to you after the Padres took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. Quick break here, and then I'm going to get into where Tommy Pham looks like he is going to be landing. Check out Gaglione Bros Famous Cheesesteaks and Garlic Fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well. All right, so during the Padre-Dodger game on Sunday Night Baseball, Ken Rosenthal came out with a piece in The Athletic saying that Tommy Pham is on the verge of finding a new club. He ranked number 33 on the Athletic's top 40 free agent big board, I believe at the beginning of the offseason. He is close to an agreement with the injury-depleted Chicago White Sox on a minor league contract. According to Ken's sources briefed on the discussions, he'll be signing a minor league deal because he is out of options. This way the White Sox can start him in the minors without needing to pass him through waivers and promote him when he is ready. So pretty much, I think, what the Mets are doing with JD Martinez there. And so the whole minor league deal thing, that's not a surprise. I'm a little bummed. Like, we can be happy about what Jurickson Profar did. Awesome. I still would like to have Tommy Pham. He could be a DH option when Manny goes back to third. He can play the outfield spots. It could be a bat off the bench. If he's signing a minor league deal with the White Sox, I don't think that it's for that much money. The White Sox have already lost Luis Robert, They've already lost Yoan Moncada, Eloy Jimenez. They've lost key guys, not for the entire year, but for a substantial period of time when those are like your three big name offensive players, right? There's Andrew Benintendi. You get the point. But with Pham, the White Sox, they knew they're not going anywhere. So they're signing Pham to trade him before the deadline, right? That's what I'm thinking. So if you're the Padres and you're AJ Preller, you couldn't give Tommy Pham what the White Sox gave Tommy Pham. Now, as of now, we don't know exactly the amount of money that Tommy Pham got. The Padres didn't want to give Tommy Pham more than a few million dollars. So maybe it is more than a few million dollars. Maybe it is $5, $6, $7 million that the White Sox are giving Tommy. And then they're essentially spending like $5 to $7 million, let's say, for a prospect or two. Because why would they keep Tommy Pham on their roster the entire year when they're the Chicago White Sox? I was hoping Pham might be willing to take a little bit less to come to the Padres, a team he's familiar with, a team that he has a chance to win. Because he can't choose where he goes before the deadline when the White Sox trade him. So I was hoping that this would have ended up happening, the Padres and Tommy Pham coming to an agreement. But the way that Jurickson Profar is playing right now, switch hitter, vibes above replacement. I've seen that obviously on social media. I'm happy with Jurickson Profar right now, but that could obviously change. And now the Padres, if they're going to want another outfield bat, and let's say it's not Jacob Marcy, they're going to have to go trade for that guy. Because, I mean, what free agents are out there that is worth, you know, bringing in so you don't have to trade for someone? Tommy Pham was the guy, right? So they're rolling with it, and they could acquire someone like, I don't know, I'm just throwing the name out there, Anthony Santander, because the Orioles have a ton of talent. And they can acquire him for like half a year, and they don't have to pay him as much money. Like maybe something like that would work, a team that's out of contention. Maybe they acquire Tommy Pham from the White Sox before the deadline, and they don't have to pay him as much money, or, you know, the full season salary, the prorated full salary, whatever, that the White Sox are paying Tommy Pham. Maybe that's what happens. I think that they're still going to need that extra bat. But I'd love for Jurickson Profar to prove me wrong. And I think I'm not the only one that shares this same opinion. So I hope that he has a 2022 type season and he continues to rake for Jurickson Profar standards. I mean, just baseball standards, really. The guy's having a great start to the season. So hopefully he continues to play well. Hopefully the defense can be there. I like having Jurickson Profar on the team. Like, don't get me wrong. It's April 14th, so I still, you know, have that opinion. I just question whether Profar is the best option. Now, right now he is for sure, and he is because Tommy Pham's not here. But if Tommy was here, would Profar have been the best option to start in left field the entire year? Or would you rather have Tommy Pham be in this lineup, you know? But the Padres were riding with Jurickson. And I believe in Jurickson. Like, the talent is there. I question how long he's going to be able to keep doing this. That's all. I would love for Jurickson Profar to be this Jurickson Profar the whole season. I'd love him to. I would take a Jurickson Profar with an 800 plus OPS. It doesn't have to be 950 like he's at around, I think, right now. That's pretty insane what he's doing right now, right? But just be a productive left fielder. Don't be a liability in left field. You know, I think that's just what we ask of Jurickson Profar, and I think he can deliver that. So Tommy Pham to the White Sox. We'll see if he ends up coming to the Padres at some point. We'll see. Obviously, this is ways down the road what additions the Padres make. I don't think they're just going to stay silent at the trade deadline. I get it's April, so it's kind of funny to be even talking about the deadline right now, but sometimes I just look into the future. But yeah, Tommy Pham to the White Sox, obviously give your thoughts in the comments. It was between the White Sox and the Padres, and the White Sox, it seems like they were the team that was willing to give Tommy the acceptable amount of money that the Padres weren't willing to go to. Because if you're picking between the Padres and the White Sox, if you're Tommy Pham, you're going to pick the Padres, I would imagine. And so I think it's pretty clear the Padres were just fine with not having Tommy Pham at the moment. And I think there's going to be Padres fans. I'm seeing this a little bit in the chat where they're like, Profar over Pham. I think, it's easy to say that right now, for sure. But just overall, who is the better offensive player overall? I think it's Tommy Pham, but I'd love for Profar to prove me wrong the entire season and him be the better offensive player for the entire year. It is one of those things where I feel like the Padres don't get that type of player where, oh, he just fits on that team. You know, like there's those players where they go to a team, they play well, they leave that team, they're not good, they come back to that team, and it's like, oh, it just fits, right? I'm trying to think of, like, examples of that. Who is someone that... Kike Hernandez, that's someone that stands out, right? Like, Dodgers. Went to the Red Sox. I don't think he was terrible, but he dealt with some injuries. Goes to the Dodgers, and it's like, yeah, it just feels like that fits. And Profar, it feels like he's that guy with the Padres. The Padres, they're just that team for him. And he succeeds when he's with the Padres. He just plays better when he's with the Padres. And so hopefully that continues. He is definitely relevant, and he deserves to be starting every day. That is for sure right now. No doubt about that. All right. Getting to the chat. But first, a reminder of some of the great partners of the show. Obviously, already hit on Gaglione Bros, available at Snapdragon Stadium and inside Petco Park. Main location is on Friars Road. Breaking Tee, Padres, Aztecs, Wave, shirts and sweatshirts. We'll see if Breaking Tee will whip up a Jurickson Profar, Mr. Irrelevant shirt as well. Click the link in the description there. And Underdog Fantasy, I've been hitting on a lot of Underdog Fantasy picks, some of my recommendations. So if some Padre fans have been following those recommendations, you probably have won a little bit. I'm not saying that I'm going to get every one right. I'm probably going to go into a pick slump here at some point. But I give my Underdog Fantasy recommendations before Padres games on pregame thoughts. So you can stay tuned for that. 100% deposit match up to $100 for first-time users using code TALKINGFRIARS, or click that link in the description for Underdog Fantasy. And SeatGeek, same code, TALKINGFRIARS, $20 off your first order there. Greasy says here in the chat, Mr. Irrelevant who? That's right. Albert, definitely making playoffs this year. I hope so. I'm not going to go there because then I feel like I'm going to jinx it and then they're going to fall off a cliff. But for now, they're on a pretty good track. I agree with this one. Suck it, LA. G-Money 88, LFGSD, can't wait for the show tonight. It's official. This team is different than last year. I'm pumped AF. Yeah, they do feel different. And I know that you're not the only one thinking that. I'm not the only one saying that. A lot of people are thinking that. Yeah. It's we're just getting started in this season, obviously, right? But it just feels different. The team is together. They don't feel like they're out of games. Now, down 8-0 the other night, yeah, it felt like there's no way they're winning this game. It was over. But as long as the players inside that dugout don't think that they're out of it, then that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what us fans think, and we can be all pissed off on social media about how a game is going. We're fans. That's just what we're going to do. What matters is, do they have that belief in that dugout, in that clubhouse? Does Mike Shildt have that belief to keep going with some certain moves that he makes? Not taking a pitch off, do they have that belief together? And right now they do, and that's all that matters. Yeah, that was hilarious. The Padres sent this tweet out. I think it was the final score graphic. They were ready. And their tweet was how many L's in Los Angeles, I believe. Yeah, how many L's in Los Angeles was their final score tweet today, with Jurickson Profar hugging Mike Shildt and Profar's swing. Yeah, that's pretty elite there by the Padres' social media department there. All right. Well, if you want to do it, then let's get into it. Greasy says the ESPN broadcast is so biased, it's disgusting. I mean, pregame, right before the game, they had Eduardo Perez give Freddie Freeman a customized Dodgers pair of cleats with, I think, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball on the cleat, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, pretty biased. And I get it. It's the Dodgers. They're the bigger team. They've got the big stars. They've got Shohei and Mookie and Freddie. I get it. They're playing at home. But my goodness, they were riding the Dodgers. And how obsessed were they with the cleats tonight? I get it. Tatis's cleats were cool. Mookie's okay. Manny, okay. But isn't that more of a social media thing? Not the broadcasters constantly mentioning the cleats? Was it National Cleat Day or something? It seemed like they were obsessed with the cleats. And I'm like, okay, it's cool, but have MLB post the cleats on social media. Like, that's, I feel like social media is for the, what are the cleats? What do the cleats look like? Not for the broadcast to be completely, like, fixated on the dude's cleats. Multiple players' cleats. It felt like all night long. And I'm not actually as pissed about it anymore, but in the middle of the game when they interviewed that Dodger fan, in when he caught Manny's homer, and he kept Manny's homer ball and threw a spare ball back into the field so that Dodger fans wouldn't get on him, because an opponent hits a home run, Dodger fans, they throw it back into the field, and he didn't want to get yelled at by Dodger fans, so he threw a ball onto the field, but it wasn't the Manny home run ball. Which is interesting. If I was in the outfield and Mookie or a Dodger player hit a home run and I caught it, unless I'm selling that thing, I'm throwing it back. I don't need to keep a Dodger home run ball. Maybe if there's a Dodger fan kid next to me, I'll give it to them to make their day. But like, I don't want to keep a Dodger home run ball. I have no desire to keep that. So interesting Dodger fan there keeping that Manny home run ball. But yeah, Buster only goes down there in the stands and he's interviewing this Dodger fan. Now, that Dodger fan, he did seem pretty cool. It was actually a pretty funny interview, so I'm not super irritated about it. But at that time, I was like, do we really need to be interviewing this Dodger fan who caught a home run? I guess it was better than the broadcast continuing to ride the Dodgers, but I don't know. It just, if this was at Petco Park, would they be riding the Padres? I mean, no, they wouldn't, because we've seen these games at Petco Park and they still talk about the Dodgers. And I guess they have to appease the national audience, and there's more Dodger fans than Padre fans. I understand that, but I don't know. It just feels like it's just another version of the Dodgers broadcast when we're watching that. Let's see here. San Diego owns Yamamoto. Yama Meatballs is what he's been looking like against the Padres sometimes. Yeah, I agree. Jackson Merrill, he's bringing that energy that we need for sure. Confidence, energetic. He's just having fun. Love watching him play. Competitor. Devin says, it's nice we got the win, but I feel a little irritated. They should have scored more runs. Yeah, that's true. There's always room to improve. Yeah, they were not perfect, but they took 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers. Like, I'm here to celebrate that. I'm here to have fun with that. And we can focus on that other stuff, but for me, I'm just in a happy mood, you know? I hate the Dodgers. Padres took 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers. It's a great feeling. Antonio asks, any news on Woosuck Go? I can give you an update on him. 1 second, though, because I got to pull it up his numbers. He's in Double-A right now, I believe. Let's see here. He has a 5.40 ERA, 4 games, 5 innings, 3 earned runs. I tried to pull up the game logs, but it's not pulling up. So that's the update that I have on how Woosuck goes doing. It doesn't seem like he's super close to coming to the big leagues, but I'm not watching those outings. So maybe the Padres are seeing something and they don't care about what the box score looks like there. Adrian Morejon, by the way, that kind of made me think of him. He gets called up here in this series. Pedro Avila gets DFA'd. We'll see if a team picks him up through waivers. If not, then the Padres can put him in the minors. Morejon, he got off to a good start, it seems like, in AAA, and the velocity is there. I thought he looked good the other night, so I'm hoping that he can, you know, get things clicking together consistently. That's what we've been waiting for, right? It was like with Denelson Lamet. We were waiting for that. He had a great 2020, just couldn't put it together in a full year, right? And injuries got to him, underperformance, and then obviously he wasn't with the Padres. He's not with the Padres anymore. I think he got DFA'd by the Dodgers recently, actually. But with Morejon, I kind of compare it there. Like, we know the talent is there. The velocity is there. Man, if he could click, if he could find it consistently and stay healthy, that could be a big piece. Another lefty to add with Tom Cosgrove in that bullpen for the Padres. There's Wandy as well. I don't want to leave out other lefties, but those are the two that I thought of there. Yeah, the home plate umpire could be better. I feel like we're saying that a lot. No one worse than Angel Hernandez. Holy cow. I don't know if you guys saw that the other night. The three missed strikes in a row. Or excuse me. He called three. It was the Rangers Astros, I believe. The broadcast was getting on him too, and rightfully so. He called out a guy, three balls outside, and they were all called strikes. Just absolutely terrible. That guy has a job still because of how strong that umpire union is, I think. Let's see here. Continuing to go through the chat. If there's any other topics I missed, please put them in the chat and I can discuss them. Profar, by the way. I want to see, so Sammy Leavitt talked with Profar after the game. I want to see if he asked about the whole Will Smith thing, Mr. Irrelevant.
In the top half of the seventh inning, a big hit in this game. What were your emotions after that swing?
No, normal. I just control it.
14 walks in this game for the offense. You were able to cash in on those walks late. What was the offensive approach here tonight?
No, normal. Just, you know, try to keep short swings. You know, just play our game. You know, we've been playing really good baseball, swinging the bat really good. You know, just try to keep it going and keep it consistent.
And you continue to swing the bat really well. Early on, what have been the keys for you?
Nothing, just... I don't know.
Wearing that big smile, I think that's part of the key.
Having fun and try to help the team, you know?
I do want to ask you about one of your teammates, Jackson Merrill, three hits tonight. What's it like to watch this kid continue to play?
Great, man. He can play. He can swing the bat, great defense, great base running. He's a really, really good player, man.
Finally, you had the conversation yesterday at home plate with Will Smith. They had some things to say after the game. How did that impact your mindset entering this game? And what does it mean to now win this series the day after?
Oh, it feels good. You know, I'm not a media talker. You know, I like to just play, man. Just that's it. I'm not going to say anything in the media. That's okay. Not me.
Fair enough, Jerkson. Congratulations on the win, and thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
He's like, okay. Hey. He's like, I'm not getting into this. I'm not a media talker. I think that's kind of a dig at Will Smith. Like, dude, you're talking to call me kind of irrelevant in the media. I think Profar knows I'm not going to say anything. I don't want bad karma coming back our way when the Dodgers come play us next and Will Smith hit a ball off the wall off of us to go win it. I'm going to keep my mouth shut and let's just keep it moving. MCO in the comment here in the comment says MLB on Ohtani ceremonial balls are BS. Yeah, the on the broadcast they mentioned because Mike Schilt went out and was like irritated, it seemed like, because Wandy wasn't able to throw one of the balls that he was facing Ohtani with, because I guess Ohtani has ceremonial balls. Like, what are we doing here? So it's special Ohtani baseballs. So if he does something, is it like they'll know that it's an Ohtani baseball so that you can authenticate that, yeah, Ohtani hit this baseball or something? Why is he getting ceremonial baseballs? It's not like, it's one thing if he was up on a milestone. I think they did that with Albert Pujols when he was nearing 500, where in every Pujols at bat, they have like a ceremonial special ball, I think. That's understandable, but why on April 14th? Why does Ohtani get a ceremonial baseball? What? Why? That doesn't make sense. Are those balls juiced? I'm kidding. But yeah, that's weird. Let's see here. Continuing to go through the chat. Yeah. Angel says, imagine if Profar hit the grand slam tonight. He would have hit a grand slam in both San Francisco and LA. That's right. He had that big granny in the first inning against San Fran. Feels like yesterday. I remember that moment. Angel, by the way, to answer that question, anyone know why Bogey was absent yesterday? Schilt says it was just a day off. That he had let off like 16 straight games, and he deserved a day off. I disagree with what Schilt said today. I'm not quoting him, but he was saying like Bogaerts has been really productive so far this year offensively, and I'm like, have you looked at his stat line, Schilty? I mean, I don't know about you, but a 61 OPS plus, a 572 OPS, a 219 average, a negative WAR doesn't seem super productive to me, but Schilt knows more baseball than I'll ever know, so whatever. Ocean View Coffee Shop says Ohtani gets a tracked baseball every at bat. Why? It doesn't every baseball get tracked? We know the velocity of it. We know how long it went. I think we know the projected distance on home runs. We know launch angle. Isn't every ball track? Jeffrey says, Ben, I love your show. You kicked the crap out of Ben and Woods. You got a new subscriber. Keep up the good work. I'm not into bashing other shows. I listen to Ben and Woods all the time. So, I actually don't really agree with that, but I appreciate the compliment there. I know you're trying to compliment me, so I appreciate that. But no, I think Ben and Woods are great. I love how they talk about the Padres a lot. You know, they're not talking about the NFL all the time or anything like that. They know who their audience is. I love that about a bunch of different shows. You know, Annie and Elston, Padres. Gwen and Chris, Padres, John and Jim, Padres, Darren Smith Show, Padres. They talk about other stuff too, but like they know the audience. They know what people are there to listen for, you know? You can listen to NFL anywhere, right? We want to hear about the Padres. So I appreciate the compliment. Let's see here. Jeff, I see you're trying to join the show, but it says your device is not connected, so I can't bring you on. So maybe try to come back on if you want to come on. Someone here, Pink Double, says it had something to do with Ohtani having the most home runs out of any Japanese player. MLB is waiting for his next home run. Oh, okay. That actually does make sense. Because he's tied with Matsui, right? Hideki? Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because if it is for that, then okay. Then I guess I retract what I said. But it just doesn't if it's not for that, and it's just he gets a ceremonial baseball every time out, like, what are we doing? I get it. Shohei's great, but does he need a ceremonial baseball? All right, I'm going to check if there's any quotes out yet. I love Kevin Acey's title here. I don't know if he titled it. I think he did. But in the UT, his game recap title, Jurickson Profar has highly relevant hit as Padres win series at Dodger Stadium. I know that that relevant thing is going to get overused, but dude, when it's Will Smith again and he's on the Dodgers and he says that, use it as much as you want. I don't care. Oh, the quote, there are quotes here. Manny said, I think this was after tonight's game, I'm pretty sure you're going to have to check the dictionary on that because he's been leading this team big time, talking about the irrelevant thing. Numbers speak for themselves. Every time he comes out here and steps on the field, he makes a big impact on the game. At the end of the day, the boy got 10 years in the league. There's only a handful of baseball players in all of baseball that have accomplished that goal. So got to put a little respect on his name. That's right. That is for sure right there. Profar said, I'm not going to comment on that. I'm just going to play like I did. I heard about it, but I'm not a media guy. I show up out there, you know, letting his play do the talking. Love it. We have a great team, and they have a really, really good team over there. For us to come in here and take 2 out of 3, it's a message, you know? Yeah, that the Padres are here. They're not here to get stomped on. Now, Dodgers may stomp on the Padres record-wise, but in terms of being competitive, the Padres have been very competitive. They're winning the season series against the Dodgers so far. So if Dodger fans want to keep yapping, go ahead. I get it. All the NL West titles. You have the better roster on paper, and their fan base is just loud to begin with. Our fan base is loud as well. You know, I can talk on social media at times as well. Others do. I said this earlier today on social media. I like that both fan bases care. There are some matchups in baseball where it seems like the fan bases, they don't really care what happens, right? But these two fan bases, even if the Dodger fans don't want to say it's a rivalry, I think some have come around to that. We know that it is. And we know that both teams, they don't like each other. Both fan bases do not like each other. And I'll speak for Padres fans when I say that we do not like Dodger fans. And Dodger fans, I don't think that they like Padres fans. And that's what sports is. That's what makes it fun. It can make it annoying sometimes as well. But it can make it makes it fun. As long as things, you know, stay in bounds. Things don't go over the line. Things stay in bounds. It's fun to go back and forth. That's what sports is. All right. Sorry, Jeff. Still says your device not connected. So hopefully it'll work next time when you try to come on. But this is it. Talking Friars episode 586. Padres take 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers. They're back to 500. Coming up against the Milwaukee Brewers. Musgrove game 1. Cease game 2. And then that would mean Michael King game 3, I believe, before they have a day off and come back home to face off against the Toronto Blue Jays in what should be a pretty entertaining series there. Thank you, everyone, for the time. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your night. Have a great start to the week.